Good morning. How many of you are glad to be here this morning? A few of you. That's good. That's real good. Listen, before we get started, I just want to personally thank you, Amanda. I want to thank you for being willing to serve your country. I want to thank you for protecting the freedoms that I personally enjoy in this country. And I want to thank you for being a godly woman and being able to take the gospel to not only the men and women that you serve, but also the men and women and children that you're there to protect. So thank you very much. As Pastor Doug said this morning, I'm not a pastor yet. As a matter of fact, I'm a Walmart truck driver. It wasn't that funny. But first and foremost, I'm a man who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all that I am and all that I'll ever be. I am so thankful for what God has done in my life. And Monday morning, I will meet with your former pastor, our distinguished district superintendent, Dr. Norris, and I will begin my candidating process. And my wife and I are excited. We're a little apprehensive, but we're excited as to where God is going to lead us. So as you think about it, you know, continue to pray for us. Especially when you see a Walmart truck or a Walmart store. And the way they're building them, they'll probably be in your backyard pretty soon. But there's two things that you need to learn as I begin my message this morning. My wife has always said that the worst thing you can give a truck driver is a microphone or a CB radio. So you need to learn two signs. You need to learn this, which means calm down. Because what happens is when I start to think about what Jesus Christ has done in my life, I get excited. I get fired up. I am so excited. And as we should all be, when we think about what God has done for us, we need to get excited. You can smile. Make people think you're glad to be here this morning. Young people going to New York City. Trust me, there's a mission field. But if you're not excited about the Lord and Savior that you serve, how can you expect anybody else to get excited about it? So as you go and share the Word of God and share the good news that we have with people who haven't heard it yet, get excited about it. It's okay. It's okay to jump in and praise God. The second thing you need to learn is this. That means it's getting close to lunchtime. I don't look at my wife because she's always doing it. You know, because most of the time pastors, they'll look at their watch or they'll set their watch up on the pulpit. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. This morning I'm just a humble servant. I'm a messenger. Just a simple messenger, and I've brought a message from a great God for you this morning. I pray that God will open your hearts and your ears to this message. I pray that God will receive the honor and the glory. I pray that God will anoint my mind and my lips, and that the message that I bring forth would be the message that He has for you people today, and He has for me. The title of this message this morning is, Do I Care Enough? Do I Care Enough? Notice the title. The title doesn't say, does my spouse care enough? Does my children care enough? Do our soldiers in the armed forces care enough? Do my brothers and sisters in the Lord care enough? No, I believe God wants to get personal with us this morning. I believe God wants each of us to ask ourselves, do I care enough? You see, because there's two kinds of people in this world. There's those who just say, who cares? And turn their back. And then there's actually those who care. As I was preparing this message this morning, I thought about caring and I thought about compassion. And I thought about the place where I experienced the greatest acts of caring and compassion. And that was in the ER, emergency rooms of hospitals. You see, in 1987 and 1988, I was treated and or hospitalized 31 times for asthma. So you see, I've experienced, if you want to call it hospital etiquette, in life's most intense times. The young lady that has asthma, she'll tell you, It's no fun when you can't breathe. And the harder you try, the worse it gets. And you know, when I came to Christ, this is the event that brought me to my knees to a Lord and Savior. And then I was anointed by the elders. And since 1988, I've been hospitalized one time for asthma. And I praise God for that. But you see, the emergency rooms in the hospital are different than any place else in the world. It's there where people can't seem to do enough for you. Nobody's rude. The distinction of race or economic status or education all seem to melt away. Each person pulls together for someone else because loving someone and taking care of someone is what it's all about. In ER, we see compassion. We see caring. We see love. And we see action displayed in other people's lives. I'm absolutely convinced this morning, if we were to live as people who were in the emergency room, we would have more compassion that would be displayed in our everyday lives. We would be more loving people, more compassionate people, more caring people. We would want to be people who reach out to help others in need. I believe this morning that our text epitomizes what compassion and caring is. And if I could have you stand in respect for the reading of God's Word and turn to our text this morning, Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 35 and reading through and including verse 37. And it reads like this: On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him," and pay attention to this, "he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. You may be seated. In our text this morning, Jesus teaches us the importance of caring for others. He goes one step further. He gives us practical illustrations of what to do when someone's hurting and in need. I want you to understand one thing this morning. If you understand nothing else, if nothing else comes out of this message, I want you to know that God loves you and God wants you to love others. And God wants you to reach out to others who are in need and who are hurting. But the thing I want you to notice this morning is, and you're in a process of bringing a pastor on board. I want you to know it's not just the pastor's job to get out and to care for people. It's not just the pastor's job to evangelize. It's not just the pastor's job to lead people to Christ. It's the body of Christ. It's all of us as believers. We are the army of God, and there's strength in numbers. And we have got to pull together and do what God has called us to do, and that's to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's to reach out and to care for people and to show compassion for people. Listen, when you get outside these doors, it's easy to be a Christian in here. You know, because most of us are Christians, right? Well, hopefully all of us are. But listen, when you go outside those doors, you're going out into an ugly world. A world that's lost and dying and needs to hear the gospel. There's people out there that are hurting. There's people in these walls that are hurting and need our help, need our love, need our compassion. So you see, it's not just the pastor's job. So when you bring that pastor on, you embrace that pastor. But you support that pastor. You stand behind him. You get out there and help him with the things he needs to do. The pastor's only one person. He can only do so much. But if you get 200 people behind him, wow, what work we can do for the Lord. 1 John 3 tells us, it reminds us of this whole idea. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action. With action. In other words, quit talking about it. Quit telling people that I'll pray for you. And it's well intended. Take the time. Take that few minutes to pray for them. You will be amazed at the impact it makes on people's lives. Young people in your schools. There are friends of yours that you go to school with that live in the most ungodly homes that you could ever imagine. And they're searching. And you need to get out there and pray for them. Take that time. With the remaining of our time this morning, I just want to point out some basic principles that this story teaches us about caring and about compassion. Our purpose this morning is found in verse 25. And you might want to follow along in your Bibles. It helps keep me straight, make sure I'm reading right. Our purpose is found in verse 25, and it's brought about by a question. Actually, it's brought about by two questions asked by a Jewish lawyer. And I want us to look at these questions. I want us to look at the answers. But most of all, I want us to look at how they apply to our lives today. We're told that this man's no ordinary lawyer. We're told that he's a expert of the law. And I think, you know, when you try to picture expert, what do you think about? You think about somebody who knows everything there is to know about their field. Somebody who's tops in their field. Somebody who if you go to them with a question, they don't have to go look it up because they already know the answer. I'm not talking about a know-it-all type person. I'm talking about somebody who is humble, but yet they're well studied and well knowledgeable. So it says that he was an expert of the law. The question, though, that he asked Jesus is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Basically, what he's asking him here is, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? Well, Jesus, in the next verse, in verse 26 there, Jesus refrains from giving the man the answer. Instead, Jesus poses a question in return. And look at that question. He says, what is written in the law, and how do you read it? In other words, what does the law say, and how do you understand it? How do you personally understand it, and what's it mean to you personally? Then in verse 27, the lawyer asks Jesus these words. He answers him with these words. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. But it doesn't stop there. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then in verse 28, Jesus says to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But you know what lawyers are famous for? Lawyers and I hope there's no lawyers here this morning. Lawyers are famous for finding loopholes in the law. You know, look in verse 29. It says, "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?'" And this is what I want us to focus on this morning. Who is our neighbor? Why did the lawyer ask this question? Well, Luke tells us that he just wanted to justify himself. He wanted to make himself seem right with his relationship with God. You know, often we're just like this lawyer. We try to reduce God's commands to something that we can live with. You know, we like to believe that loving our neighbor means loving people who love me. Or at the very least, loving people who are lovable. There's people we run into that, if we're honest, are not very lovable. And we find a hard time loving them. On the flip side of that, though, there's times when we're not lovable. But guess what? God still loves us. God loves us even in the times that we're the least lovable. You see, the lawyer knew all the right answers. He was well-educated, well-knowledgeable. But he was oblivious to what compassion looks like in real life. He knew the textbook answers. You know, I don't know what Amanda's doing in the military, but I know people go to flight school. The first thing they do, they go through all their courses and their classes and they learn the textbook things. And they're told, this is what you do in this situation, this is what you do in this situation. And then they're put into a flight simulator and they get to practice that. But you know, when you get 10,000 feet in the air, there's not much chance for error. What you learned in school better be right. This morning, let's just quickly look at the principles of compassion that are outlined in our text. First, compassion is based on need and not worth. In verse 30, we read, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." Our compassion this morning ought to be driven not by the worth of somebody, but by their need. We should not reach out to people because they're good looking, like most of you young people. Not because they're smart. Not because they're rich. Not because what they can do for us. We ought to be reaching out in compassion and caring for these people because they need it. And that's the bottom line. Because they need it. I wonder this morning, and please don't answer. You can just answer in your own heart. I wonder if we come upon two people, we come upon this person that's well-dressed and well-groomed, well-spoken, and he's hurt. Or if we come across this person this street person who is dirty and filthy and dressed in rags and bleeding, I wonder who we would minister to first. I wonder who we would treat first. Our compassion should not be dealt by the worth of somebody, but rather their need. You know, Jesus says in this parable, he says a certain man. Notice that there's no distinction, just a certain man. Today we'd probably just say some guy. This man was robbed, he was wounded, he was stripped and left for dead. Listen, he needs our help. But you know, there's wounded people all around us, people. There's wounded people everywhere we look. There's wounded people in our churches. There's wounded people in our schools, in our workplaces. There's wounded people everywhere. You know, there's people who are wounded in body. Their bodies, their health has turned to sickness. There's those who are wounded spiritually. And these people have lost the joy of their salvation. There's people who are wounded financially. These people have lost or are in the process of losing all that they have. Ask yourself this morning, whose need can I meet today? Whose need can I meet today? Do I care enough? Secondly, compassion feels something. In verse 33 we read, But a Samaritan as he traveled came where the man was, and when he saw him, he turned around and walked away. No, that's not what it says. It says he took pity on him. He saw him and he took pity on him. When that Samaritan saw the suffering man half dead alongside the road, something happened in his gut. Something happened that made it impossible for him to walk away. Something made it impossible for him to even think about walking away. You know, he didn't decide to help this guy on the basis of how worthy he was. He helped him because of how needy he was. And that's the way compassion needs to affect our lives. It needs to stir us. It needs to trouble us. It needs to keep us awake at night till we can do something. Listen, we had missions moments this morning, and the young lady did a great job. And she brought about the whole idea of Great Commission Sunday next Sunday. And listen, we need to give. We need to give because if we don't give, those people will never go. And if they don't go, there will be people who will never hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So we need to give. We need to give all that we can, all that we can afford. It needs to stir us. It needs to trouble us. Thirdly, compassion does something. If we read in verse 34 there, He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the inn and took care of him. Now, this is the action part of the story here. The man no longer is talking, but he's putting his words to action. He's actually going to do something. He's going to help. He's going to get involved. Jesus tells us of six distinct actions that the Samaritan took. Maybe you want to outline these in your Bible this morning. First, it says he went to him. He didn't turn and run. He bandaged his wounds. He took care of his physical needs. He poured oil and wine on his wounds, the healing part. He put him on his donkey. He brought him to an inn. And he took care of him. Notice that every one of these acts demonstrates compassion in a practical and timely manner. You know, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to drag you down or anything. I know that we can't be everywhere all the time. We can't help everybody all the time. But ask yourself this morning, do I care enough to try? Do I care enough to try? We need to put our words into actions. You know, I shared this morning, I drive truck and I've often passed accidents or people in need along the road. And there's been times it's been inconvenient for me to stop because it's unsafe. I can't get my truck off the road. But you know, I can still help. I can pick up my cell phone. How many young people have cell phones today? Come on now, you can raise your hands. I know more than one or two of you have cell phones. But I can pick up my cell phone and I can call for help. I can get assistance out there. Maybe I can't personally stop and administer help, but I can still help. Do I care enough to try? Number four, compassion costs something. We talked about that in missions this morning, that it cost money to send people out. You know, often we're willing to give our time and to give our prayer life, but when it comes to our finances, sometimes we're a little stingy. Listen, you can't outgive God. No matter how hard you try, you can't outgive God. We need to quit being stingy. All that we have, God has given to us to be good stewards of. All He has given to us, we're to use for His glory and honor. We're to use to reach people that are lost and dying. Compassion costs something. In verse 35 there, it says, "The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any added expense that you might have.'" You might say the Samaritan went the extra mile. He took this man to the inn and saw to it that the innkeeper looked after him. But also he promised what? He promised to return and to reimburse him for any added expense. You notice that the Samaritan didn't put on any type of financial cap for the stranger's care. We see that he gave freely and voluntarily. We see he gave because he saw the need. He gave of his emotions in that it allowed him to feel compassion. He gave of his time. And he stopped to help in spite of what might have been a very busy schedule or inconvenience. He responded. He gave his donkey. And this means that the Samaritan had to walk. But he responded. And finally we see in verse 35, he gave of his money. He gave of his finances. It doesn't say the Samaritan was rich or poor. It doesn't say. We don't know that. God doesn't care this morning if you're rich or poor. He says, give what you can. Give what you can. Every little bit that you give helps. What's our excuse this morning? What's our excuse? Do I care enough? And finally, compassion demonstrates our relationship to God. In verses 36 and 37, Jesus asks the lawyer one last question. In verse 36, he says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" We see in verse 37 that the lawyer can't even bring himself to say Samaritan. He's so humbled, he's so embarrassed about his own actions that he can't bring himself to say Samaritan. So instead he just says, "The one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus' response to the lawyer and to us today is simple. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. In this story, Jesus identifies the person who had a real relationship with God from merely the religious people. We saw what the religious folks did when they saw this man beaten, battered, and left for dead. What'd they do? They kept walking. Not only did they keep walking, as a matter of fact, they crossed the road so that they didn't have to take a chance of making eye contact and maybe feeling just that twinge of guilt. They crossed the road just to make sure they didn't have to stop and help. We began this morning with 2 questions. Let us end it with 2 questions. Ask yourself, am I a good neighbor? Am I the type of person who's going to do what God has called me to do? And that's to reach out to the lost, reach out to the needy, reach out to the widows. Am I a good neighbor? And secondly, do I care enough? Do I care enough? Do I care that there's people outside these walls that are lost and dying and going to hell? Do I care enough to get out there and witness to them? Do I care enough to get out there and share the gospel with them, share the good news? Do I care enough? In closing, let me just say, Jesus showed us that compassion is based on five different things here. This showed five things. It said, compassion is based on need and not worth. Compassion feels something. Compassion does something. That's the action. Compassion costs something. Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's our finances. And compassion demonstrates our relationship with God. Jesus Christ was our example. Will we be an example to the world outside? Or will we be the same as the world and close our eyes and cross the street and walk away? Ask yourselves, am I willing to be inconvenienced? Am I willing to sacrifice? Do I care enough? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for your message. Lord, I pray as we leave this place, we would leave as changed people. We'd leave as loving, compassionate, caring people who will reach out to the lost. Lord, help us to be that shining light you've called us to be. Help us to live the example that you lived for us. Lord, just help us. There's nothing we can do on our own strength. Apart from you, there is nothing we can do. So we just ask you, just out of humbleness, Lord, come into our hearts and our minds. Help us to change our actions and our attitudes. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to be that shining light, that beacon of light for the world to see. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could stand for the benediction. Our benediction.